KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 57 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be cloudy here today, a high around 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Residents of Messina will be heading to the polls today during a special election to cast their ballots for mayor. The position of mayor was left open by the death on May 27th of Don McCunn. Since then, Linda Reinicke has served as mayor pro tem. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman said absentee ballots can be cast in the auditor's office at the Cass County Courthouse here in Atlantic this morning from now until 11 o'clock. Again, that's for absentee only. The polls will be open today from noon until 8 p.m., and the only polling site is at the Messina Public Library. Since no one has filed nomination papers to run for the office of mayor in Messina, the person having the most write-in votes will be elected. The elected individual will serve until the end of December. Now, the office of mayor will appear again on the ballot on November the 5th. During the general election, the person who is nominated at that time will serve a full two-year term that begins on January 1st of 2014. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now? At 877-838-8580. Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Well, Governor Terry Branstad has ordered flags in Iowa be flown at half staff today from now until 5 o'clock this afternoon in honor of a northern Iowa policeman who was killed last week. Rockwell City Police Officer Jamie Bunting was shot last Friday morning during a standoff with a man wanted for assaulting his mother.
I have called his widow, Mandy, to express my condolences and that of the people of Iowa for the death of her husband in the line of duty. And the Lieutenant Governor will be attending the funeral.
Branstad made his comments on Monday during a telephone call from India, where he's been traveling on a trade mission. Bunting was 37 years old when he was killed. His funeral will be held this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the South Central Calhoun Middle School Gymnasium in Rockwell City. Bunting was a 1995 graduate of Pomeroy Palmer High School. He entered the law enforcement profession in 1999, serving in the Lake City Police Department. He was an officer in Manson for 4 years before being hired by the Rockwell City PD in 2005. Bunting leaves behind a wife and two children. A memorial fund has been established at the First Community Bank in Rockwell City for the family. An autopsy showed a Rockwell City police officer killed during a standoff died from a gunshot wound to his chest. Gerard Myers is assistant director of the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. He said the wound to Officer Jamie Bunting was in the upper chest and lower neck region. 37-year-old Bunting was shot Friday, as I mentioned, as he and other officers attempting to enter a house to arrest 32-year-old Corey Trott, who was wanted on an assault warrant. The Des Moines Register reported that a complaint filed with the Calhoun County District Court said Bunting was a few feet from the house when Trott fired a single shot from a .223 caliber rifle. Trott surrendered to authorities hours later. He faces a first-degree murder charge. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports two people were arrested recently and a juvenile was charged with indecent exposure. 45-year-old Troy Lee Landis of Clarinda was arrested September 3rd on a simple misdemeanor assault charge with domestic violence enhancement. Landis posted bond and was ordered to have no contact with his alleged victim. He's scheduled to appear in court on October 9th. On September the 8th, 21-year-old Sierra Lynn Adkins of Clarinda was arrested on a warrant out of Atchison, Missouri, charging her with various alleged drug offenses. Her case was transferred to authorities in Missouri on September 10th. That same day, a 14-year-old white male from Clarinda was charged with indecent exposure and distributing obscene or pornographic material to a minor. No other details on that incident were released. Sheriff's officials in Mills County say four people were arrested over the weekend. On Friday, 34-year-old Adam Michelson of Pacific Junction was arrested on a warrant for theft in the third degree. His bond was set at $1,000. That same day, 40-year-old Jason Hoffman of Pacific Junction was arrested for driving while revoked. His bond was $1,000. On Saturday, deputies in Mills County arrested 34-year-old Charles Conrad Campsey II of Nebraska City, Nebraska, for being a fugitive from justice. He was being held in the Mills County Jail without bond. And on Sunday, 56-year-old Robert Steve Bass of Omaha was arrested in Mills County on a charge of OWI second offense. His bond was set at $2,000. Elsewhere in the news, the historic Hotel Patti in Perry that abruptly closed earlier this summer now has a new owner. Des Moines television station KCCI reports that Jay and Denise Hartz of St. Louis, Missouri, had bought the building and planned to reopen it by the end of October. The couple planned to first clean the 40-room boutique hotel and make some repairs. Mayor Jay Patti says the development is a huge deal for Perry. Jay Hartz said several Perry residents invested a total of $500,000 to reopen the hotel. The hotel underwent a multi-million dollar renovation back in the 1990s, but it closed in 2006 after losing money. A new owner reopened it in 2008. Its previous owner, Leisure Hotels, said it was forced to close the hotel this past August because of financial difficulties. The president of the Iowa Association of Realtors says home sales in August were as hot as the weather. Don Marple tracks the sales from members across the state.
Average sale price got about 7.8%. It's been a big increase again, up to around $161,000 compared to $150,000 last year at this time.
Marple says competition has made it good for those who are selling their homes.
I think the prices are driving up because there's not as many homes in the market. We've got low inventory. And that supply and demand factor is just pushing those prices up, as well as still not as low interest rates as they were, but still great interest rates to be buying out there right now.
Marple says the slight increase in interest rates has made a lot of people who are considering a home purchase move ahead for fears the rates will go up again.
It's been pushing the increases in sales, that's for sure, and lowering our days on the market. Right now, we've dropped almost 27% in regards to days on markets, down to 75 days compared to 98 just a year ago today.
Housing supplies remain tight, even though Marple says home builders are trying to fill the supply.
The new home builders are getting back in the market. I've been going to some sites in some areas around the state, and I've got an area on the eastern side of Iowa right now that's putting up 10 homes a week. That's how fast they're trying to work. They're digging holes that quick, trying to keep up with the market. And the rest of the state's following suit on new construction.
Overall, sales were up 3.7% from August of last year, with 3,875 homes sold in the month. A federal judge has sentenced an Ankeny couple to prison for their part in a mortgage scheme. The U.S. Attorney's Office said in a news release that Judge James Gritzner on Friday sentenced 35-year-old Jamie Bowers Danielson to 41 months in prison on bank fraud charges, followed by 5 years of supervised release. Gritzner sentenced 36-year-old Matthew Danielson to a year in prison for bank fraud, followed by 5 years of supervised release. Both pleaded guilty to the charges. Prosecutors say Bowers Danielson used her position as a loan originator between 2003 and 2007 to falsify loan applications for herself and others. Danielson provided false information and misrepresented his marital status as single to a mortgage lender. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, law enforcement officials told the Associated Press that the Navy contractor identified as the gunman in the mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard had been suffering a host of serious mental issues, including paranoia, a sleep disorder, and hearing voices. The officials say the Veterans Administration had been treating Aaron Alexis for his mental problems since August. However, the Navy had not declared him mentally unfit, which would have caused him to lose his Social Security, or rather his security clearance. Officials say Alexis entered the military installation yesterday on a valid pass. A Western-backed Syrian opposition says the UN report offers irrefutable evidence of chemical weapons use and clearly shows that only Syrian government forces could have carried out last month's attack on a rebel-controlled suburb of Damascus. The Syrian National Coalition is demanding a swift international response to the report. Yesterday, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon told the Security Council that the attack constituted a, quote, war crime. A Sunni community leader and Iraqi police say gunmen have shot and killed 17 Sunnis in the Shiite-majority city of Basra over the past 2 weeks. Reported killings follow threats of retaliation for attacks on Shiites in other parts of Iraq. Sunnis in Basra were frequently targeted during the widespread sectarian killings that occurred between 2004 and 2008 and pushed Iraq to the brink of a civil war. The rains have finally stopped, but search efforts and damage assessments continue in Colorado. State officials say the flash floods caused by days of heavy rains have left as many as 8 people dead. Hundreds remain unaccounted for, but the number dropped yesterday from more than 1,200 to about half that. Officials expect that it will continue to decline as rescuers locate more people and those stranded without phone or internet communications finally get in touch with their families. Finally in the news, U.S. consumer prices barely rose last month, the latest sign that slow economic growth is keeping inflation tame. The Labor Department says the consumer price index increased just 0.1% in August after a 0.2% increase in July. Excluding volatile food and energy costs, core prices also rose just 0.1%. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Elwin Sunderman, age 87, of Griswold, died Friday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Elwin Sunderman will be today at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Michael Schildberg, age 29, of Greenfield, died Thursday at his home. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Michael Schildberg will be today at 11 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Howard Thrain, age 74, of Harlan, died Sunday. A Mass of Christian burial service for Howard Thrain will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Martin Marty Donald Vogt, age 55, of Dexter, died Friday. Graveside services for Marty Vogt will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Dexter City Cemetery. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Lorraine Perdue, age 85, of Issaquah, Washington, died September 11th. Memorial graveside services for Lorraine Perdue will be held on October the 4th at 10 a.m. at the Griswold Cemetery. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Diane K. Clinton Johnson Wilson, age 54, of Atlantic, died Friday at her home. Services for Diane Johnson Wilson are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.